When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 91 of WikiShuffle. My name's Jack. I am joined as ever by my good pals, Chris.
Hello.
And my good pal, Phil.
Hello.
My good pals, Chris, and my good pal, Phil. I don't know. I'm not very good at this. Phil, you might be getting a migraine, so this might not be the most fruitful recording session.
We're going to try and persevere. My eyes have gone a bit funny. This is normally a warning sign that I'm about to get a terrible, terrible migraine.
Like when my tattoo starts burning.
Bit like that, same. Yeah.
Do you ever get migraines, Chris?
No.
You never had one?
I know, and I don't really know. I can't differentiate between them and a headache, but I know that they sound really horrible.
Oh, yeah, it's a totally different beast. I'm very, very stringent on making sure everyone knows about how bad my migraines are and much pain I'm in.
We were in the Science Museum in London, and you had to have a big sit down.
I did have a big sit down, didn't I?
You're not making it sound that horrendous. Can I tell you about Can I tell you about how the whole right hand side of my body gets paralysed?
It's not the start. It was like we were in the Science Museum and I started to get an aura on my eyes and I thought, I'm getting a migraine. So I had a big sit down, I had some water, and luckily it just was a false alarm. You do sometimes get a false alarm.
You do, and that's what I'm hoping this is. But when mine's at my worst, my right hand locks into a claw.
Like Jeremy Beadle.
A bit like Jeremy Beadle, yeah. I've already got the size down.
Yeah,
but yeah, my hands sort of locked
into the claw. You've got two Jeremy
Beadle. Is the migraine your body trying to transform into its final state?
It's a possibility. So anyway, we're going to be doing this quickly so that we can
Yes. So we're going to do some wiki shuffling articles. Mm-hmm. You know what that is by now. I'm not going to ask Chris or Phil what it is.
You could explain yourself.
I don't want to. Chris, before we begin, I'd just like to talk about something that we talked about on last week's podcast.
Okay.
Which was the film Spookies.
Spookies.
And you've actually followed through for once.
Yeah, I have. I've watched the whole
thing. You've done something that you said you would.
I've watched the whole thing. It's all right.
Look how the dig went unchallenged there. It was such a blatant dig.
Yeah.
And it's water off a duck's back.
Nothing I can really say, is there?
No.
No, he knows he's in the wrong. Where are the postcards, Chris?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Where's Hippocampus?
Who knows? It's around.
Geographically, where is Hippocampus?
Southern Africa.
Makes sense.
Oh, it does make sense.
It's Hippo.
I don't know, it just seemed very American. Very American idea.
No.
You can transport,
I like
animals.
To be geographically correct with my fiction.
But not anatomically correct or biologically correct.
Zoological accuracy is not so important.
No,
though.
No.
Fair enough.
Spookies.
Anyway, Spookies. Yeah, it was all right. It was good. It was very low budget, had some pretty bad acting, and that one actress that we mentioned that was in the sexy films, she plays a secondary character in it who is the best character. Because she doesn't react at all to the monsters around her in the same way as everyone else. They all start infighting, except her. She just smokes. Someone tries to attack her, she just punches it. It's fine. Everyone else loses their shit. The big buff, like Jersey Shore man with the leather shirt with lightning stripe on it, he tries to be hard. He doesn't. He goes out pretty quick. And also, the setup to it is exactly how the Wikipedia article said. That boy appears from nowhere, wanders along to an empty house, thinks there's a birthday party for him in a terrifying house. There's a head, gets chased out, buried alive by the werecat.
The werecat has just like dug a grave?
Just dug a grave, pre-prepared the grave. The boy falls into it when he's chasing him.
Here's one I made earlier.
Doesn't the werecat have a hook, if I remember correctly?
The werecat does have a hook, he doesn't need it. He plays absolutely no part at all. He's just wearing like one of those Letterman jackets. Then they speed the camera up and he's got a shovel and he's filling it up really quickly. And the kids in there are like, oh, rubbish. And then that's the end of it.
Oh, this isn't fun at all.
Yeah, pretty much.
Worst birthday ever.
It was. It was the spookiest birthday he ever had. He doesn't get seen again because it immediately cuts to two cars. And that's it. One of them full of a very busty lady, the funny guy who's got a puppet, and the driver man who's from Jersey Shore.
It's like having Mark Kermode on the podcast, isn't it?
It's the same. He's going to be from Jersey Shore and he's like, hey, forget about it. And that's what he's basically doing. And there's a tree in the road. And there's a car behind them full of an older gentleman and his wife.
When you say tree, do you mean a tree or some kind of tree monster?
Nope, just a tree. Okay. Just a normal tree.
So I like that you always say the car's full of.
Yeah.
It's full of a busty woman and a funny guy.
Yeah, it does imply like they've been chopped to bits sort of sloshing around in the
No, this is all fine. This is before the drama. The drama happens. So they're in that car, and in the car behind it is an older person and his wife. And they're all going... Well, they don't say where they're going. They're looking for a party. But these two groups of people would not be together in this convoy. So there's no reason. They're not related to each other. They're not friends, but they're all looking for a party. And they think the party's going to be at the abandoned house where the sorcerer lives. Then the muck monsters come out.
What does a muck monster look like?
Muck monster is...
Oh, was it not muck men?
Muck men, yeah. There's multiple.
Right, different types of muck.
And they are full, big, hulking guys... with brown slime dripping off them, and they come towards you with their arms held out, and they do this. They go... That's what they do. And they just give you a big hug, but it's, I don't know, maybe it smells. And the tentacle guys have the electric shocks. The sorcerer, his wife is sleeping. She wakes up, and she doesn't want to be there anymore because the guy's creepy. But he's like, why? She gets up and goes, everybody dies. And then the guy just keeps on being a bad man. 5 stars.
Your pick of the week.
Pick of the week.
Great. Okay. I'm glad we've got that over with. So, Phil, how's the migraine?
I'm going to go and take some paracetamol very quickly. Maybe that will help. Right, get your best glasses on. Get your reading glasses on.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Because we've got some hunting to do.
What are we hunting for? We've done Pokemon.
Words. Hunting for words in a book.
Well, not words, but we are hunting for something in a book. What? Because this is... Where's Wally?
Oh, the man that goes missing.
The missing man.
The staple of all fancy dress night outs.
The easiest one to do.
Red and white striped jumper, shit bobble hat. Glasses. Piece of piss.
And if you've already got like that sort of face, which a lot of people have.
That sort of face. Yeah. You know that sort of face
that's
just
that sort of face.
A line for a mouth, a tiny little nose and two big eyes.
Yeah, I don't know loads of people that have got that sort of a face. Nicholas Lyndhurst.
Nicholas Lyndhurst from Goodnight Sweetheart.
From Goodnight Sweetheart, yeah.
What? Why would we be referencing Goodnight Sweetheart? What do we know about that?
Because of some stupid thing that we do.
What would make us more qualified to talk about Nicholas Lyndhurst's face than, say, other people's faces?
Because we do that podcast that we do.
And we've been looking at Nicholas Lyndhurst's face quite a lot lately.
A lot, for maybe 3-4 times in a row.
Been looking at Nicholas Lyndhurst's face maybe 3-4 times in a row.
Yeah, multiple
that
times.
That is, I mean, that should be an extreme sport. That's dangerous.
But I'm not making fun of him because we love him. He's not like Where's Wally, he's a nice man. Where's Wally?
Is Where's Wally not a nice man? Are we trying to find Wally because he's committed a crime? Is this a manhunt? I've never thought about Where's Wally as a manhunt.
That's the subplot. He does look like he's that. You know, he looks like a character. Well, he is a character.
What? What are you talking about?
He looks like a villain.
How does he look like a villain?
He does.
He's got a big smile. He's got a nice.
Yeah,
sinister. Has men never been a villain?
He looks
in
like
a
he does look like a paedophile. Look at him. And he's hiding in plain sight. There's one of the pages where there's loads of ways.
He's doing the opposite of hiding in plain sight.
No,
the absolute opposite.
Chris has a point. He's always at playgrounds. He's always at theme parks.
Yeah. True. And he's hiding. And there's one in the books where he's hiding amongst the crowd with other people in red and white jumpers. So everyone could be Wally. I don't even know how you win that one.
That's not one of them. That's all of them. That's the whole point. Have you ever seen one of these books?
Yeah, I've seen these books.
He's like hiding in plain sight at a funeral. Everyone's in black.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be an ineffective place for him to go. But if he was to go to a football match of, say,
Southampton,
thank you, that would be...
Hiding
in plain sight.
So what is hiding in plain sight then? I thought it was just hiding, but you're just there in front of you.
Yeah, but that's not what Wally's doing.
No, he is, because he's in the picture.
Yeah, but he's not in plain sight.
Told to look for him, in plain sight.
Hiding in plain sight is like when the caretaker fellow was interviewed about Holly and Jessica, and he was like, oh, I ain't seen them.
Exactly.
That's how Nunn plays.
That's
like.
Where's Wally?
Where's Wally? No, we didn't finish plugging Goodnight Sweetcast, did we? That's what we're trying to get in there. We're doing a new podcast called Goodnight Sweetcast, where Chris and I look at every single episode of Goodnight Sweetheart, the 1990s.
Why are you doing this?
You made us. Don't ask us. You told us to do it, and now we're doing
that
it.
That is literally it, isn't it?
That is
I
the
told
only
you
reason.
On this podcast that you should do it.
We're very suggestible people, and you have some kind of power over us that we'll never fully understand.
And I just thought, I can't be arsed doing it, but Chris and Phil can. You spend a lot of time on it.
Yeah, you just so much time you can't imagine. You have no idea how much of our lives this is taking up.
What
now.
Jack's done is very elegant, because he knew I would be instantly up for it, instantly, and maybe not follow through with it. But he also knew if he could get you on board, you would follow through with it and then drag me through.
And that's what's happening. That is what's happening with Goodnight Sweetcast. But listen, it's fun. Even if you think you don't like Goodnight Sweetheart, we thought we didn't like it to begin with, didn't we?
Yeah.
We were really worried about it. But it's better than you thought. You may have seen that there was a new episode on BBC this week.
Such a ringing endorsement, isn't it? It's better than you remember.
Wow. It's better than your idiot child mind is telling you that it is. There was a new episode on BBC One this week.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we have actually mentioned what it's about on Wikishow. What the premise of the show is.
He's a time traveling love rat. That's pretty much it.
About the size of it, yeah. Gary Sparrow, Nicholas Lyndhurst, as played by Where's Wally?
As played by him.
Travels through an alley between 1993 and 1940. And he has two wives on the go.
But he sounds like a dick, and he is a bit of a dick, but you like him.
Right, Where's Wally?
Yeah, Where's Wally?
You've done your plug-in of your shitty little podcast that nobody wanted.
People want it. You're just angry that you're not involved. And
I am involved.
Be. Oh, we get your voice at the end.
Yeah, you do.
For it's now. Nice. Till we get Ruth in to re-record that. Where's Wally is a series of children's books created by English illustrator Martin Handford. The books consist of a series of detailed double-page spread illustrations depicting dozens or more people doing a variety of amusing things at a given location. It's kind of missing the main unique selling point of Where's Wally there. And in 1986, Handford was asked by his art director at Walker Books to draw a character with peculiar features so that his pictures of crowds had a focal point. After much thinking, he came up with the idea of Wally, a world traveller and time travel aficionado who always dresses in red and white.
It's pretty much Gary Sparrow, except his outfit.
Sometimes it would take him up to 8 weeks to draw a two-page sketch of the elusive Wally and the characters surrounding him.
Oh, is that a long time?
Yeah. I think that's what I'd expect, if not longer. I couldn't do a Where's Wally double pager in 8 weeks.
Do you know what I've learned? I'm not going to say that I can.
Long-term listeners of the podcast will recognise that as a point in Chris's character arc.
Yeah. Real change.
Yeah,
Real change in this one.
That was a turning point.
I feel like we've really made progress.
We've reached the end of the first act in this podcast.
Got that. Trail of failures behind me.
The first Where's Wally book was published on Monday, the 21st of September, 1987. The books became extremely popular and were localised for many different territories, with name changes for Wally in certain regions. The franchise also spawned other media in a more storyline-based form, including a TV series, a comic strip, and a series of video games.
Video games?
I don't remember a video game. Remember the comic, though. And in fact, I collected that comic when I was little.
Shut up.
I actually did. I had
the Where's Wally comic?
Yeah, but it wasn't a comic. It was like, he went around the world, and it was quite factual. And it came in like a binder. And the newsagent used to keep it for me. I don't know why I got attached to this particular one, because there was no story. It was just like facts about Nepal. And that's where he was. And there would be a picture. You've got to find Wally in Nepal. And all the facts about Nepal, maybe all the animals, a couple of puzzles. And then you kept them all in the ring binder. I think I just like collected them. And you put the little sticker on the side of it that said, he's been to Nepal, like it was his passport. And you put it on there. And I used to have all of them. It's the only thing I ever collected at a young age.
Oh.
Don't know why.
I collected the animals of Farthing Wood.
I collected that. Wow.
And the one where you got to build a dinosaur over many months.
Yeah. Oh, you
get a little piece
that.
Of glow-in-the-dark dinosaur. I was like six.
Because the first one's free, the next one costs like £50.
Yeah. Me and my dad built a dinosaur.
But why did your dad not say, hang on a minute, there is a more efficient way of us building a model together than me spending £9,000 on this collectible series over the course of 12 years?
You haven't met my dad, have you?
No, I haven't. From a comic perspective, I collected Garfield books,
Peanuts? Yeah, great.
Nah, peanuts rabbits. Garfield's. I'm more into Garfield's.
My mum always wanted me to get into Calvin and Hobbes instead, but I didn't get that. And now I look back, Calvin and Hobbes was amazing.
Yeah, I couldn't get that as a kid either.
I couldn't see that when I was a child, but it's brilliant.
I was a straight up Beano guy.
I used to get the Beano.
Used to be pretty exciting when you get a Wham bar on the front of it or a Dib Dab.
Did they used to do that? They used to put free sweets on the front.
Yeah.
And it does explain your attitude towards softies as well.
Oh, softies.
Hate softies.
That's like very offensive, isn't it? Really looking back, Walter the Softie. Really is.
Walter the Softie mincing around.
And it's literally like,
oh, let's throw some eggs at him. Yeah, that's what happens.
It's literally Dennis the Menace bullying a little gay fella.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens like, every
it's
single week.
Awful.
Yeah,
it hasn't aged well at all.
And setting his dog on him.
Yeah.
Don't teach children to set their dogs on gay children.
And no, like 8-year-old girl cartoon or not should be called a minx.
No. Wally, whose name was localised for certain international editions, for example, Waldo in the US editions.
That doesn't work as well. Waldo.
Why couldn't the US handle Wally?
I don't know. Because they have Wallys as well. It's not as if Wally isn't a name in America. Yeah. In fact, I feel as though Wally would be a more popular American name than British name.
Yeah. Waldo sounds like the bad version of Wally, who wears yellow and black.
Got a moustache.
Like the Wario version of...
There's no clue in the article. What there is, though, is a list of Wally's names in various different languages.
There's a lot.
There is. So, Afrikaans.
You need to say this in local accent as well, please. Yeah. All of them.
Yep.
Say it in Afrikaans.
Willy.
It's more
there's
Scottish.
There's too little there for me to really get into an accent. Well, I'm from South Africa and I'm looking for Willy.
Don't doubt it.
Arabic, Foduli. Whether that's in the accent or not, I've no idea.
It's quite posh.
I'm gonna try and not do an Arabic accent, I think. Just for the sake of international relations. Bulgarian, Uoli. That definitely wasn't a Bulgarian accent.
No.
But I don't know how you'd pronounce that word. Catalan is Wally.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese is Weilai. Croatian is Jura. Czech, Valdik. Danish Holger, Dutch Wally, Estonian Volley, Finnish Valu, French Charlie.
Where's Charlie? What's where?
France.
What's where in
at
French?
Least the Americans kept to the general theme.
Charlie.
What's the whole title in French then for Where's Wally?
Où est la Charlie?
Où est Charlie? German, Walter. You see, the Germans have tried. French, just think they can just reinvent the wheel.
Just, no.
Hebrew Effi, Hindi Hetty, Hungarian Vili, Icelandic Valley, Italian Ubaldo or Wally. Make up your mind. Japanese Wari.
That is literally what it says. Phil's not being massively racist. I'm not it literally racist. Says Wari.
W-O-R-I. It is Wari.
So tempting to say it, but I know you can't.
You're a monster.
Korean is Wally. Lithuanian, Valdas. North American English, Waldo. Norwegian, Willy. Polish, Wally. Portuguese, Wally. Russian, Uoli.
It just sounds like you're being really offensive to everyone. Wally. Everyone's a Wally.
It sounds like it's the shipping forecast. It's just all gone wrong.
Serbian, Jilly. Spanish, Wally. Swedish, Valley or Hugo.
Of course.
Turkish, Ali, Jezgin Valley. Vietnamese, Van Lang and Welsh, Wally. Now, I think, you know how the British Commonwealth's a bit outdated and the reason for what countries are in the Commonwealth and which aren't don't really make much sense?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I'm suggesting a new British Commonwealth where we just club together all the countries that call Where's Wally, Wally.
I'm for
it. So it'll be us, the Dutch...
Yeah, I like the Dutch.
The Catalan.
Legends.
Yeah.
Much better than the Spanish.
Oh, we've got the Spanish as well. The Welsh, the Portuguese, the Italian, and the Polish.
What's our goal?
It's just a club. Well, what's the Commonwealth's goal? It's not really clear, is it?
No, that's true.
Maybe have a sporting event every 4 years, but...
Oh, we've all got a hide. Like a massive hide and seek.
International hide and seek. And we have real sectarian violence with anybody who calls Wally anything other than Wally.
Fine.
There's a bit of a schism with Italy, because some Italians call him Ubaldo and some call him Wally, so there's a schism there.
We'll,
but if there's going to be a schism anyway, you'd expect it to be in the Holy Roman Empire, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. So
yeah, just we'll separate the ones that call it Ubaldo out.
Big stripy wall.
First against the wall.
First against the wall.
In the first two books, Wally wandered alone and was the only person to be found in every illustration. Over time, more characters were added to find in each scene.
Yeah, because there was like levels, wasn't it? You had to tick the box to say you found Wally, you found his mate, you found that wizard fella, you found his
dog. Wizard fella. Yeah.
Wilma was Wally's best friend and first appeared in The Ultimate Fun Book and was replaced by her identical twin sister Wenda in Where's Wally the Magnificent Poster Book.
How
did you tell?
Why? Why did they have to say it was twin sister? I always thought it was like his wife.
Odlaw was Wally's nemesis.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And look, it's Waldo spelt backwards. Odlaw made his debut in The Magnificent Poster Book.
Made his what?
His debut.
Okay.
He appears nearly the same as Wally, except that his clothes are yellow and black instead of red and white. His glasses have a blue tint to them, and he has a mustache. I was joking about the evil nemesis having a mustache earlier.
Pretty spot on.
But apparently all evil nemeses have mustaches.
How's your migraine going?
I'm all right. I think it might have passed. It might have been a false alarm.
Cool, okay.
Laughter is the best medicine.
There you go.
So if you could be a bit funnier, please. Woof, Wally's dog, first appeared in The Ultimate Fun Book, where he was identified as Wenda's dog.
If someone had a dog and they called it Woof, I would not be friends with them.
Only his tail can be found, with the exception of the final page of Where's Wally the Wonder Book, which depicts all of Woof.
I remember his dog was hard to find, because it was just a tail.
Wizard Whitebeard, first seen in The Fantastic Journey, his signature is his exceptionally long beard, which is often the key to finding him. It's often the key to finding me as well, if you've lost me. In his first appearance, he was responsible for sending Wally on a quest to discover the truth about himself. Hmm. And he has tagged along on Wally's travels ever since.
I mean, you're getting deep inside the lore of...
Yeah, I've never been this deep in it before.
But if you're spending 8 weeks per picture, you can't do that and not invent lore. You can't. Yeah. The human brain is incapable of spending that much time on a thing and not crafting it into some sort of narrative to stop you from going insane. Mm. So it's completely understandable. And in the mind of
Martin Hanford,
it's probably a whole lot more elaborate in ways that he wouldn't dare even talk about for fear of making himself look mental.
Do you reckon he's ever like slipped a knob or a fanny into the big pictures for a laugh?
Yeah, probably.
You would, wouldn't you? You'd do something.
Also in the character section, the Wally Watchers are Wally's... The Wally Watchers are Wally's devoted fan club that first appeared in Where's Wally, the Ultimate Fun Book. They turn up wherever Wally goes, dressed in the same red and white striped outfit. 25 appear in most books, though there are 99 of them in the Ultimate Fun Book.
Like his acolytes.
Magazine! Chris, you remember?
I do remember this.
There was a series of geographical magazines made available for children in the United Kingdom, Ukraine, Ireland, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Portugal, Poland, Brazil, France, Hungary, Malta, Bulgaria and Russia called Wally's World.
There was, I remember. I was in that group.
Somewhere out there, there's a 28-year-old Maltese man who shares this fact with you.
Ah, right in.
In each issue, Wally travelled off to a different country or region of the world, telling the reader interesting facts, only for them to forget all about what those facts were.
I remember the covers.
This was published in 52 issues from January 1997 to January 1998, when Wally's History of the World began, focusing more on history than geography. The first issue was given away free with the last issue of Wally's World. A film based on the Where's Wally series of books has been pursued by various studios. Nickelodeon was one of the studios to take an interest in the idea, but when the regime at Paramount, Nickelodeon's parent company, changed, the project was cancelled. In June 2009, it was announced that Universal Studios and Illumination Entertainment had acquired the rights to turn Where's Wally into a live-action film, but the project was also cancelled. Nicholas Lyndhurst is probably available.
He is, and he would be really good at it.
I can't think of anyone better.
What would the plot be for a Where's Wally film?
Well, there's all this lore. You could do a big... It could be like Doctor Strange. It'd be good.
He's got his watchers following around and you can't find him. They're looking... It's got to be a search thing, hasn't it? He is the MacGuffin.
But you want to see Wally, don't you?
Yeah, but we'd be following him, so the other characters would be looking for him.
But
yeah,
we'd know where he was.
But yeah, then there'd be quite a lot of panned out broad shots where we wouldn't see him, and he's in a suit, red and white, through very contrived means, like he's stopped off at a sweet factory or something.
Or in a market somewhere in Marrakesh.
I'd do it like National Treasure with Nicolas Cage, so there's some sort of travelling element to it. And yeah, a lot of that.
You would do it like that.
I'm not going to.
Nicholas Dinthorpe's probably a little old now to play Wally, if we're honest. No, I'm thinking that there's got to be some other casting options.
There is, but you could, Nick, just on the side of Nicholas Dinthorpe first, this could be like an older, rugged Wally. He's been lost many times and he's seen a lot of things.
Maybe the film could be about Wally finding himself.
Well, who would be the other casting be? Who would you choose?
I'm thinking Gabe from the US Office.
Excellent shout.
That's who I think.
That is, yeah. Totally.
After he does a fantastic turn in the new Ghostbusters film.
He's good in The Loop as well.
And he's very good in Silicon Valley. So he's my casting choice for
Where's Wally. And he has Wally's face and height.
So what about if he's Wally and we get the bad guy to be Nicholas Lintest?
No, we don't have to have Nicholas Lintest. You don't have to cast him.
It's really hard not to just think about it.
But since we've signed him to our agency, we feel obliged. On Thursday, the 2nd of April 2009, 1,052 students, alumni and members of the community at Rutgers University in New Brunswick, New Jersey, captured the Guinness World Record for the largest gathering of people dressed as Wally. There must have been so much effort gone into that. I mean, I'm looking at a picture of it now, and they do seem to have exactly matching uniforms, which makes me think that somebody produced 1,000 uniforms and handed them out. And so the people that turned up just showed up. That's all they had to do, and put a jumper and a hat on.
You have to do it that way. You're not going to find that many enthusiasts.
So somebody spent money on making 1,000 Wally outfits. Oh, no. So as disparaging as I've just been about that world record attempt, this is even sadder. On Monday the 31st of May 2010, Great Yarmouth attempted to break this record, but fell short of 1,052, with only 930 people turning up. Oh, that's really sad.
How much of a dick would you feel?
I mean,
walking home in a Wally costume. Firstly, you're being Great Yarmouth, so it's not going that well for you.
If it had been like 150 people turned up, then fair enough, you just hadn't tried. But to get to 930, you feel as though that last push must have been within sight. It's all moot now, though, because on Sunday the 19th of June 2011, the previous record was smashed when 3,872 people dressed as Wally gathered in Merrion Square, Dublin. Stone skipping is the pastime of throwing a flat stone across water in such a way that it bounces off the surface, preferably many times. The object of the game is to see how many times a stone can bounce before sinking.
Okay.
Buckle yourselves in, guys. This is going to be one hell of an article.
I can't do this. I don't know how they do it.
Oh, really?
Can you do it?
Yeah. What do you do? Great fun.
It's actually fun.
I've often seen people do it before. I'd like to do that, but I just end up throwing it in. What do you do? Is it?
There's a knack to it, definitely.
You need to get it spinning. So it needs to be a flat stone. And then you kind of roll it off your hand and put a spin on it as you go. And it's that spinning motion that makes it skip over.
So it's the same sort of physics as when you press the other button in Mario and he does the spinny jump.
It is exactly that.
Gotcha.
The North American Stone Skipping Association, brackets NASA, but with two S's. Gee, whoever came up with that, they must have been so pleased.
Yeah.
They must have. I hope their logo looks kind of like the NASA logo, but with a stone skimming instead of. Yeah, that would be great. Founded by Coleman McGee in 1989 and based in Driftwood, Texas, sanctioned world championships for 4 years from 1989 through 1992.
An unnecessary organisation. And it can't be a sport, then. You two can both do it. It can't be a sport.
What? You can kick a football.
Yeah, but
you're shit at football.
Yeah, but if you kick a football...
If you kick a football...
Yeah, but everybody... But no, like, I can also throw a stone, but I can't make it skip. And I just can't bend it like Beckham. Same thing.
Very few footballers can bend it like Beckham.
All right.
Mainly just Beckham.
Good point. I still don't think you need this association.
Well, neither does anyone else, because it seems like it doesn't exist anymore. Only lasted from 89 to 92.
Good.
Which is just before Goodnight Good. Sweetheart. Goodnight Sweetheart started in 1993, so it probably took their attention away from it.
I can imagine.
Shut up about Goodnight Sweetheart.
The world record for the number of skips, as acknowledged in the Guinness Book of Records, is 88.
No way. And this
was achieved by a man called Kurt Mountain Man Steiner.
88 skips.
What's the standard
That's
amount of skips?
That's insane. I can do like three.
Yeah, you get like four
Maybe
or four
five. Maybe four if I'm excited.
Yeah, you get
good, but
four or five would make you do a little ooh.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be like getting a strike and bowling.
88 That's is just nuts. Preposterous. This cast was achieved on September the 6th, 2013.
So what's the science behind that then? So is it if the force that you throw it or the angle?
A combination of all of those things, and you need the conditions to be exactly right as well, because you want the water to be as still as possible. Like on running water or the sea, it's very difficult,
but
you want very still water.
88 times. How long is that going to take? Like 5 minutes?
No, they get very quick.
Five minutes?
I don't know.
You can imagine a human being throwing a stone with enough inertia that it will carry on travelling for 5 minutes.
Well, I don't really know.
It'd be literally like that.
Like, is that what it goes like?
Yeah.
Imagine the furthest you can throw a stone.
Yep.
Okay, no water involved. You hurling a stone.
Right.
How long you could make that stay in the air for. It's going to be less than that.
Oh, how?
It's got to be less than that.
So how between skips, how long are we talking then?
A second? Less than a
Under
second.
Under, like,
well, less than a second. Particularly because they get closer together. So your first skip to the second one will be quite big, and then they'll be
so it'll be like a minute
closer
then.
Together.
Not I'd even say a minute. I'd say 20 seconds.
There is another stone skipping championship in Easdale, Scotland, where distance is measured as opposed to the number of skips, as tends to be the case outside the US. So America, they're very much about the number of skips, whereas it's distance elsewhere. Since 1997, competitors from all over the world have taken part in the World Stone Skimming Championships in a disused quarry on Easdale Island.
Sorry, I opened a drink and it made the recording.
The stone must bounce or skip at least three times to count. Dougie Isaacs of Scotland won the title again in 2015, making him the champion with the most world titles in the competition's history. 7. The world record for distance skimmed was laser surveyed at 107.4 metres at a Guinness-endorsed event comprising a squad of 12. The throw was by Dougie Isaacs of Scotland.
Dougie's the king.
Scientific explanation.
Oh, this is what I was after.
This is what you want. An early explanation of the physics of stone skipping was provided by Lazzaro Spallanzani in the 18th century. The stone generates lift in the same manner as a flying disc by pushing water down as it moves across the water at an angle. Surface tension has very little to do with it. The stone's rotation acts to stabilise it against the torque of lift being applied to the back. Research undertaken by a team led by French physicist Lydric Bouquet discovered that an angle of around 20 degrees between the stone and the water's surface is optimal. Bouquet and his colleagues were surprised to discover that changes in speed and rotation did not change this fact. Work by Hewitt, Barmforth and McElwain has shown that if the horizontal speed can be maintained, skipping can continue indefinitely. This is an international phenomenon, because anyone can do it, but it's got lots of names all over the world. Some of them are quite entertaining. In Bengali...
What's the American one? Stone Waldo. Sorry about that.
Skipping rocks or stones in America, or skimming in Britain, or ducks and drakes in Britain. I've never heard it called that before.
No.
Or stone skiffing in Ireland.
I'd always say skimming.
I would say skimming. In Bengali, they're called frog jumps.
Makes
or
sense.
Kingfisher.
I like that.
Bosnia, basically the former Yugoslavia, is to throw little frogs. Making stepstone bridges in Catalan. To make froggies in Czech. Or to make ducks or ducklings.
Or, it goes on.
It does
or
go on.
Or also, little fishes, saucers, plates, dishes, wagtails, divers, flaps, pot lids, plops, darts, sir, figures, bubbles, Jews... gammas, dolls, girls or dragonflies. Or to ferry Virgin Mary.
They must really love doing this in Czechoslovakia for it to have that many different
Jews.
Slipping in Danish, frog jumps in Telugu, throwing a burbot in Estonian, which I think is a type of fish, isn't it? In Finnish, throwing a sandwich. Little frogs in Greek, making it to waddle in Hungarian, literally making it walk like a duck. This is brilliant. Mm. Cutting water in Japanese makes sense. Mongolian, making the rabbit leap, fair enough. Or alternatively, making the dog lick.
I get that though, because when dogs drink, it does do that.
Oh, yeah.
That's nice,
yeah,
that
makes sense. Yeah.
Do you want to go for a game making the dog lick? That's a
no.
Disturbing sentence.
I'll bring the peanut butter.
Oh.
Well, the good news is that my migraine never materialised. Those paracetamol did the trick. I'm all fine. I'm in fine fettle. You'll be
hooray,
pleased to know.
Hooray. Well
that,
done.
But that is it for another episode of Wiki Shuffle.
Well done, guys. Come on.
Seems.
Give yourself. There you go.
We don't usually do this.
I feel like it was a good one. All the stuff about whatever the stuff was we talked about, mm-hmm. I thought that was good. I enjoyed it. I had an intervention staged against me this week.
You were borderline, but we didn't need one.
Anything you need to get out in the open?
No, this time you're right. I think we let you off with a warning.
It seems to have worked. This is good. You've been bettered as a human as a result of our intervention.
So we'll be back again next week, episode 92 of Wiki Shuffle. In the meantime, you can listen to Goodnight Sweetcast, which is Phil and Chris's wonderful new Goodnight Sweetheart podcast. Yeah, listen to that if you want. I don't know. Just go to wikishuffle.co.uk and you'll find all of that business there.
Yeah, and that's where you'll find all of our old episodes as well, together with some show notes in some cases where I can be bothered. I did some again last week.
We should also mention that we got a lovely postcard this week.
Oh, we did, yes. Thank you, Brian. Brian has been re-listening to all of the Wiki Shuffles from
re-listening.
The
re-listening.
Well, no, he joined in halfway through and then he went back to the beginning again. And now he's caught up and he's listened to everything we've done.
Okay, so he's not listened twice.
No, that would be mental.
That's what I was going to say. That's nuts.
I don't know that I've listened twice.
No.
Someone will have.
Don't think so.
Of course they will.
Let us know. If you've listened to all of our episodes more than once, then you will definitely get a shout-out and possibly some palliative care.
Yes. Yeah, that was a really nice postcard. Brian says that the podcast helped him get through post-surgery days. Lovely.
That's great. I mean, use painkillers. It would be my advice to most people if you're getting over surgery. But maybe he's a Jehovah's Witness, and so a lot of interventionalist medicine is not available to him. He's had to make do with our podcast.
Two more things. Brian is called, can I say his surname?
I can't see why not.
Okay, well, he shares his name with one of the best Friday Night Lights characters, so that's nice. And also he lives in Melbourne, and I might well be there in the next year or two, Brian, so expect a visit, and if you have a spare bed or something, that'd be nice. Cheers, mate.
Not for you, Brian. Not for you. You, of course, can send us a postcard yourself, preferably with a picture of your shitty town on one side. This is what we've always asked for on the postcards, is that you send us a picture of your shitty town. So far, nobody's
We haven't got
done
one
that.
Postcard that looks horrible, no. Apart from Keith in the bath eating cereal, which is disturbing, but it's not a town.
It's not cereal, it's a cake, if you remember. It's a caterpillar cake from Marks & Spencer's.
Of course it was. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but they're all nice, aren't they? They all look like nice places.
They
even
do.
Even Dallas looks nice.
So we've had postcards from all over the world, but none of them are shitty enough. They're all a bit too picturesque. So what we really want is you to show off how shitty your town is and send it to Wikishuffle HQ, 1B Headlands, Kettering, NN157ER. Jack's doing something. What are you doing?
I'm doing a drawing for your Gary Lurie.
Because that's the other thing we want you to send us, and that is pictures for the Gary Lurie.
Gary Lurie.
Which is the feature that we have on the Goodnight Sweetcast. So it's basically any artwork inspired by the characters or events of the BBC sitcom Goodnight Sweetheart.
Okay, next week we'll be talking about some more stuff that we don't know what it is yet. So see you then. Bye.
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 Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.